Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines today, this Friday, January the 22nd, the UN hails the entry into force of a treaty banning nuclear weapons.
Authorities in the Central African Republic declare a state of emergency as armed groups storm the nation's capital, Bangui.
And the Swiss Guard commemorates its 515th anniversary. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni.
And I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. The UN Secretary-General and anti-nuclear movements have welcomed the first-ever treaty to ban nuclear weapons, which enters into force today. It comes after Pope Francis, at his weekly general audience, urged all nations to walk towards a world without these deadly arms. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The first ever treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons, or TPNW, is now part of international law, coming into force on Friday after decades of negotiations. It's been hailed as an historic step to rid the world of these deadly arms, but not everyone is happy. Countries known to possess nuclear weapons have not signed up to the treaty, including the United States, Russia, Britain, China, and France. It was adopted on the 7th of July 2017 and opened for signature on the 20th of September. On that same day, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States, signed the treaty at the United Nations headquarters in New York. The TPNW secured the 50 ratifications it needed to enter into force at the end of last October, and as of Thursday, 61 countries had ratified it. The treaty states that all ratifying countries never under any circumstances develop, test, produce, manufacture, otherwise acquire, possess or stockpile nuclear weapons or other nuclear explosive devices. It also bans any transfer or use of nuclear weapons or nuclear explosive devices and the threat to use such weapons. In a statement, the UN Secretary General described the treaty as an important step towards a world free of nuclear weapons. Speaking to UN News, the Executive Secretary of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, Lassina Zerbo, spoke of the devastating consequences of nuclear weapons and said they should never again be used.
The message remained that we cannot forget the devastating consequences of nuclear weapon use and testing. Just as the atomic bomb survivors, the Ibakusha, remind us that never again should nuclear weapon be used. We need to also ensure that never again will nuclear testing occur.
Pope Francis voiced his support for the treaty at his Wednesday general audience and appealed for all nations to work toward a world without nuclear weapons. The best way to do this, he said, is by contributing to the advancement of peace and multilateral cooperation, which humanity greatly needs. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
A state of emergency has been declared in the Central African Republic as the army and UN forces try to repel advancing rebel groups. Nathan Morley reports.
Over 50,000 civilians have fled the Central African Republic due to the recent fighting in the country. The rebel groups say they're determined to overthrow the government and now control two-thirds of the country. Latest reports suggest that they've also surrounded the capital city with their troops. The rebels have continuously decried the victory of President Touadéra's recent election last month and dispute the result. The authorities, though, accuse a former president, François Bozizé, who was barred from running in the last election, of adding fuel to the fire. A state of emergency declared last night will now last for the next 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the UN envoy in the country has warned that the CIR is at grave risk. Over 10,000 peacekeepers are already deployed there, and the French also have troops on the ground. Seven peacekeepers have been killed since the rebels launched their offensive last month. The situation has compounded an already dire refugee crisis. Separately, the UN Special Envoy to the country has asked the UN Security Council for a substantial increase in the number of peacekeepers to give the mission there greater mobility on the ground. The CAR army is backed by the UN, Russian and Rwandan troops. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Burkina Faso, Father Rodrigue Sanon, a priest missing since Tuesday, has been found dead in a forest in the southwest of the country. Christopher Wells reports.
In a sign of the deteriorating security situation in Burkina Faso's southwestern region, Father Rodrigue Sanon, a Catholic priest reported missing earlier this week, was found dead in a forest on Thursday. Announcing Father Rodrigue's death, the bishop of the Diocese of Benfora issued a statement expressing his profound sorrow. "It is with deep sorrow that I bring to everyone's attention that the lifeless body of Father Rodrigue Sanon was found on January 21, 2021, in the protected forest of Tomuseni, about 20 kilometers from Benfora," said Bishop Lucas Kalfasanu. The bishop invited the Catholic faithful to pray for the repose of Father Rodrigue's soul. He also encouraged them to stay the course and remain confident in the merciful love of God. Father Sanon, a parish priest, was reported missing on January 19th. He had left his parish for a meeting in Bamfora, but never arrived. Concerned by the unexplained disappearance of the priest, Bishop Sanon, in a statement on Wednesday, invited the faithful to pray so that Father Rodrigue may be found safe and sound as soon as possible. The bishop had also appealed to anyone with information about the missing priest to come forward. Some residents of Benfora had spotted the missing priest's car parked by a road. This led some to speculate that he might have been abducted. Burkina Faso has been a hub of religious violence and Islamist militias over the last 5 years. The extremist attacks, which target both Christians and Muslims, have left approximately 1,100 people dead and have displaced approximately 1 million more since 2015. Following Tuesday's abduction of Father Rodrigue, security forces were put on high alert. The government in the capital of Ouagadougou is engaging with regional and European partners to try to put an end to the enduring terrorist threat. I'm Christopher Wells.
In Brazil, doctors are warning that a second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic is buckling the health system. Of particular concern is the situation in the Amazon rainforest city of Manaus, home to many vulnerable indigenous tribes. The hospitals there are reportedly packed and running out of oxygen, and there are no beds left in the intensive care wards. Pope Francis prayed in particular for the inhabitants of Manaus during his weekly general audience. COVID-19 has killed about 212,000 people in Brazil and wreaked havoc on what was an already shaky economy.
The week of prayer for Christian unity is underway with a call to Christians of all denominations to join in prayer for full communion. The theme chosen for the annual week of prayer is from the Gospel of John. It is, "Abide in my love and you shall bear much fruit." The coronavirus pandemic has, of course, impacted many of the events and celebrations that traditionally take place for the week of prayer. But as Reverend Robert Warren, vicar at Rome's All Saints Anglican Church, told Vatican Radio, the poignancy of the situation has paradoxically brought even more closeness to the Christians involved.
Well, we have certainly been in probably more contact with our brothers and sisters in other denominations this year than we have been normally, because in fact there's been a certain amount of information that is needed to be shared back and forth in terms of practices. And we found ourselves, because a lot of our services are now online, we've actually been able to check out what we do and, if you like, to spy on each other a little bit and find out what our brothers and sisters are doing. So on one hand, it's a more difficult time, but on the other hand, there have needed to be some moments of collaboration in the course of the year, which have, I think, made us closer and not farther away.
That was the Vicar of All Saints Anglican Church in Rome, the Reverend Robert Warren. Pope Francis will celebrate the closing of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity on Monday the 25th, together with other Christian leaders in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls.
The president of the Commission of the Bishops' Conference of Europe has expressed concern about a soon-to-be-debated legislative proposal in Denmark, which he claims could impede the fundamental right to freedom of religion. The proposal requires all sermons, homilies, and talks given in the religious setting to be delivered in the Danish language. Cardinal Hollerich noted that smaller religious denominations, which do not only have the financial means to comply, but are often formed at in immigrant communities, would be particularly affected. The Commissar President insists that eroding specific rights in such a way endangers the entire architecture of fundamental rights based on the idea of universality and interconnectedness.
The Tribunal of the Vatican City State has convicted the former president of the Vatican Bank, or IOR, on charges of embezzlement and money laundering. The court also convicted Italian lawyer Gabriele Luiso and his son Lamberto Luiso for their role concerning the sale of 29 properties owned by the IOR and its subsidiary company. In a statement, the Holy See Press Office said that the tribunal found Caloia and Luiso guilty of several counts of embezzlement from the IOR and others of aggravated embezzlement, as well as the crime of self-laundering. Both were sentenced to a total of 8 years and 11 months of imprisonment and a fine of €12,500 each.
And finally, January the 22nd marks the anniversary of the Swiss Guards, founded under Pope Julius II. This year, the Guards celebrate 515 years. Francesca Merlo tells us more about this particular presence in the Vatican and their legacy.
It was Pope Julius II that founded the Swiss Guards in 1506. Often dubbed as the world's smallest army, the Swiss Guards, a separate entity to the Swiss Armed Forces, are hired by the Roman Catholic Church under the leadership of the Pope, to whom they swear loyalty in a ceremony at the Belvedere Court. This ceremony takes place every year on the 6th of May to mark the anniversary of the sack of Rome in 1527, in which over 150 Swiss guards were killed defending Pope Clement VIII, who escaped neighbouring Castel Sant'Angelo escorted by the remaining guards. It is said that during the Middle Ages, Switzerland gained a reputation for having the most reliable mercenaries in Europe. Then Pope Julius II had long admired the Swiss soldiers who defended the King of France, and therefore requested 200 Swiss mercenaries of his own to use as bodyguards and to have defend his palaces. Nowadays, each recruit is required to complete, first of all, military training in Switzerland. This is followed by a 5-week induction training course in Rome, and finally a period dedicated to training to use the primary weapons that the mercenary used in the 16th century. After this, the guards are sworn in, and their families are invited to a private audience with the Pope. Along with the Pontifical Gendarmerie, the Swiss Guards are responsible for ensuring the safety of the Pope, both within and outside the Vatican, and for accompanying Pope Francis as he moves around among the people. I'm Francesca Merlo.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News.
You can join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. Meanwhile, you can follow these and other stories on our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And you can like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Our thanks go to Patrizio Ciprari in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And I'm Father Benedict Maiacchi.